Welcome to Small Time Leaders, a 10-minute podcast about how giving credit to others can help you experience more success and meaning in your leadership and life. My name is Michael Allen Tate, but my friends call me Mike. I work with accomplished business people who want to design a personal strategy to make their next big move their best move. In each of my podcasts, you will hear a successful leader talk about a couple of people in their lives who did or said a small thing that was so on point and profound that it still impacts how they live and work today, which I've come to call small-time leader moments. I'm so happy today to have you meet my dear friend, Doug Williams. Doug and I met in Boy Scouts many years ago as we were leading retreats to help almost Eagle Scouts reach their goal. Today, Doug is an attorney with Maynard Cooper & Gale in Birmingham, Alabama. He specializes in public and project finance. Doug's an English major with a lifelong love for language and story. He enjoys writing feature-length screenplays with 5 under his belt and a 6th on the way. Doug and his wife, Patty, have been active members in Canterbury United Methodist Church since 1991. They have 3 adult children and enjoy the freedom of empty nesting. Well, good morning, Doug. It is so good to see you again. I enjoyed breakfast at Big Bad Breakfast. Was that last week together? And so thanks for joining us on the podcast. How are you today?
Great, great. Thanks for having me, Mike.
Well, thanks for talking with me. I'd love to see your office, all the books on the wall, and I would think you might be an attorney. So,
good guess.
Yeah. Well, Doug, before we start, I always ask my guest what they're most grateful for in their life today. So tell us a little bit about what's going on good for you.
Well, one of the things I'm most grateful for just today, Mike, is health. You know, we've just seen so much with the pandemic. I attended my first Zoom funeral service yesterday for a family friend over in Georgia. And we're just really grateful that, you know, we've had a couple of kids test positive, but overall our family stayed very well and very safe. And so we're just honestly very grateful for that. We value family and all the things that go along with that and spending time together. And we've been able to do that throughout the pandemic. So I'm really grateful because if you don't feel well, if you don't have your health, you know, it's really difficult to pursue much else.
Yeah. Well, yeah, that's pretty heavy. Glad your family's doing well. And so tell us, Doug, about that small time leader that helped you made a tipping point for your life to change the way you see the world.
Sure. And the first one that comes to mind for me was a coach. And I'm sure a lot of people have teachers and coaches on their list, but this was a pivotal point for me. We had moved from one school system to another when I started 8th grade, and I just didn't know anybody. You know, I walked into the building, didn't know anyone, but I also had played football as a younger kid and quit and just didn't like the effort, et cetera. So I just decided going into 8th grade that I wanted to grow up a bit and learn to work hard and figure out what sports were all about, maybe a late bloomer in some respects. So I started football in 8th grade, and I had this coach, Al Godwin, who was our football coach. And he just took a really special interest in me at a time when I was feeling very conspicuous and in a new school system with a lot of kids I didn't know playing a sport that I really had no experience in.
As we used to call it, junior high school was kind of like the most awkward time of your life anyway. So
exactly right.
How did Al help you?
Well, you know, the first thing was just an example. During that first football season, I just worked really hard. He coached me in a lot of ways that were helpful. And I went from being sort of, you know, an also-ran on the bench to having a starting position by the middle of the year. And that was just a result of being coached and the work ethic that he demonstrated. And really the big thing that happened was at the end of the football season, Coach Godwin had played cornerback at the University of Kentucky. And so he was an athlete, only a few years out of college. He was built almost like a bodybuilder, you know, just a tremendous physique. And, you know, as young guys, we were all pretty much in awe of him physically. And at the end of the year, he came to me and said, look, I need a workout partner. I don't have anybody to spot me. And if you're willing to spend an hour or so after school, 2 or 3 days a week with me, you can spot me and I'll spot you and you know, I'll help you work out. And He actually called my parents and asked their permission. You know, of course, I couldn't drive at this point. And it was just a phenomenal spring. You know, it was the first time I had a coach take that kind of personal interest in me. And we would work out 2 or 3 days a week. He would drive me home, and I was a car guy. And he had this blue four-door Chevrolet Bel Air from the 60s that I thought was really cool. And, you know, in the late 70s, Bear Bryant was still at Alabama, and that was at the forefront of every eighth-grade football player in the state. And so hearing his stories about playing football in the Southeastern Conference was really inspiring to me at Kentucky. And lastly, you know, he was just accessible. He was a person. We talked about church. We talked about his upbringing. He actually hired me and a couple of other players to help him move, Mike. And so we got to sort of oddly, you know, see where he lived. We got to meet his wife and move his belongings. And in all of that, he just was accessible to me and encouraging to me in a way that, you know, I really hadn't experienced with a teacher or a coach up to that point.
Oh, yeah. And because when you're that grade, teachers are just icons that you don't even know what, you know, you're afraid to speak with them and all that, especially eighth grade. I can't imagine. So what were some of the things that, you know, you said he helped you move, but he kind of hung out with you and did the spotting and y'all exercised together. So what do you, anything particular you remember about that stands out in your mind?
Well, when this year, I mean, I was still kind of a little baby fat eighth grader. You know, I was big. I was already my size now. In eighth grade, I was 6'1" and wore a size 12 shoe, but I was very soft and not in shape. And it was, I just witnessed a work ethic in the weight room I had never seen before. And he encouraged me to do the same. And it wasn't so much just the getting stronger itself, but it was the lesson that hard work like that, focused hard work with a goal in mind, paid off. You know, over those months, I could see changes in myself, not just physically, but in my own grit, in my own recognition of the value of hard work and the value of having goals out in front of you and a path to get there.
Well, that's amazing. I can imagine the honor it was to do that. So you started eighth grade, you made it through the first year and did pretty well on the football. It sounds like what happened after that with coach and your schooling?
Well, he had me only for eighth and ninth grade. I should say he had me. I had him for only eighth and ninth grade. I really was appreciative of him. And honestly, the in terms of the sports legacy, because I was physically large and I had worked out in a way that nobody else had, this was before programs had these extensive off-season workouts. So it was actually unusual for a football player to work out really hard, really consistently throughout the off-season. But the result of it was when I got to high school, I was immediately one of the starters. So for 3 years in high school. And so that was the athletic payoff. I think the life payoff really has been just the general lessons that he taught me about work ethic and goals, but also just that accessibility, that modeling what it means to have achieved a lot of the goals that I had envisioned for myself of being an athlete and playing football, which, you know, I really wasn't talented enough to play in the SEC, but that was an aspiration at that point. And so somebody who had achieved all these goals, turning back around and actually paying attention to me was a really extraordinary thing.
How does that reflect in your life today? I know you're an attorney at a large firm. Any of these applications or modeling that Al did for you that you kind of see happen, you're able to model it for people in your profession?
Well, you know, I think apart from just the work ethic and the things that help you in all aspects of your life, One aspect was that recognition of the importance of accessibility. And as I've gotten older, you know, I graduated from law school in 1990. So sadly, I am one of the older lawyers around in my firm now, and people straight out of law school tend to reflexively call me sir, which is really depressing. But that's kind of where I am. So I've really worked hard to do what he did for me, and that's reach back to younger lawyers and not just be sort of this, you know, older supervisory type of person, but to be accessible, to share the things I care about outside of work, to learn about the things they care about outside of work, and really try to encourage them to understand they're on a very long path of hard work that has some goals and some things that are very worthwhile about it. And As part of that, I was one of the architects for our first year lawyer orientation and training program. And I really do think that Coach Godwin's openness and his accessibility, the investment of time, the fact he coordinated with my parents to do it, that, you know, all of those things sort of coalesced, I suppose, in my own vision of what a leader should do for others. And, you know, I don't know that I consciously thought of myself, well, I'm a leader, I need to do this, as much as it just seemed like the natural thing to do when younger people in your profession arrive. And the way to respond is the way that Al Godwin responded to me, is that kid that knew nobody in eighth grade, rather than from a position of rank or authority.
Well, Doug, thanks so much for sharing with us about Al and his impact on you. And it does sound like you took that and you became kind of the coach for a while for those young players who came in, from your young lawyers who came in, and being accessible and modeling that hard work, which we all need to remember. So thanks for reminding us about really what leaders need to do and be accessible, model for people the work ethic. And we really appreciate you being a part of my podcast today, and I look forward to hearing your next story on Thursday. Thanks again so much, Doug.
Thank you, Mike.
Thank you so much for listening. I'd like to leave you with a thought. I believe that we live in a small world that often feels out of control, but I also believe there is a big God who is in control and who speaks to us in a still, small voice. And if we just listen, we may be granted the occasion to make a positive difference in someone's life. So I challenge you to be a small-time leader today and help someone see themselves in a brand new way. Thanks again for listening to this podcast. For more information about my firm, blog, products, today's special guest, please go to michaelallentate.com or smalltimeleaders.com. And don't forget to subscribe to the Small Time Leader podcast so you never miss an episode. And join our Facebook group for more exclusive content. I'll see you on the next episode of Small Time Leaders.